Namaskaram everyone. So this podcast is a must listen for all of you who are going for the upcoming Samyama or maybe in some future Samyama. So please listen to it. If you want to deepen your experience of the silence program, listening to this program podcast will help you to fine-tune your practices, your food, and actually add a lot more things to your sadhana. So please listen to this entire podcast. So I would definitely suggest this one. It's a beautiful one, especially for all of you who are going to the upcoming silence program with Sadhguru. I hope you guys have a great time. Namaskaram. Namaskaram everyone and welcome back to the channel. We have dear Nishandana with us. Namaskaram.
Namaskaram, Anna. Namaskaram. Long time.
Long time. We had a beautiful podcast, which was a lot of people were listening, but due to undue circumstances, we had to take it down. We'll remake it soon, making it very proper and politically correct, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yes,
so this video is not about that. This video is about the upcoming Samyama program. And actually, like while I was in the ashram, one Anna actually came up to me. I forgot his name. I don't even remember his face, but he told me, you know, I asked Nishandana how to prepare for Samyama and he actually gave me a lot of tips. Which Anna was it? I'm not remembering. I think, was he the Lingaseva Anna who did Lingaseva with me? I don't know.
Is it Nepali Anna?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
yeah. Anna only.
Yeah.
So he said, Anna gave me proper preparation. I'm doing it correctly. So coincidentally, Nishandana said that, you know, it would be great if you could make a video on Samyama. So here we are, Anna. So wherever you would like to start.
Okay, so first of all, I'd like to start with thanking Sadhguru for giving me the opportunity to be able to go through Samyama 3 times. It's already very difficult to do it the first time. So he gave me the opportunity to go it through so many times. So after having seen it for myself and for others, I've noticed that there's so many things we could do as a preparation for Samyama that could help us go through this program effortlessly and also make it easy for the master. I think that is the biggest part of this program is we don't want to take up too much of his, you don't want to make him tired. That's the whole point of purpose of this preparation. So what we are going to do today is we're only going to just cover like how to enhance the practices when you're outside the ashram, because it's not very difficult to do the practices when you're in the ashram for these 2-3 months. But if you're outside, I think what we're going to cover will help you overcome the difficulties and I think prepare you better for to sit in front of him. Whatever happens next is up to you, him and you, you know. So that's all, Anna. So shall I start giving you some overview? Is that okay?
Yeah. Let's start with the, I think we should give a disclaimer, you know, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing, first things first, I want to say that whatever we are going to cover in this, podcast, this is in excess to whatever the instructions you've already received from the ashram. Okay? So every Samyama is a new Samyama. So whatever instructions you get, you completely follow to the T. And beyond that, if you would like to enhance it, that's when you follow whatever remedies we are saying. It's not even remedies. These are like just enhancements. Secondly, we are not going to cover too much about practice and stuff. We are going to cover how to create some ambience around us so that it will be conducive for us. So those are the things which may not, Master may not go into detail because they cannot cover everybody's life situation in one instruction. So that is one of the reasons. Yeah. Okay. So the first things first is I would like to start with something very simple. So this has been going on for the past 3 to 4 years that anybody that has been preparing for Sadhanapada or Samyama or to get into Sadhanapada or Samyama, actually going forward, I'm going to call this silence program. Sadhguru has mentioned specifically not to use the word Samyama so many times. So we'll call this the silence program going forward. So any number of times, any number of people have come to me and asked me how to get into Sadhanapada, how to prepare for silence program. And I spent various number of days just going over the same things with different people. At some point, I thought maybe it's better to do a simple video to cover the things we are doing. living outside the ashram that will help you go through with it. Because the first time I've done it in the ashram. So things were very simple. But the second time I've done it outside the ashram. So I know what the difference is. So I'm able to say how to prepare better for the samyama. And secondly, we would also like to say that there is no trick. Okay, I would like you to please pay attention to this one part. There's no trick to just be ready for it. You really have to put in some effort from your side. When I say effort, I'm really talking about your involvement. That's all it is. Right? How much ever you get involved and how much ever you become willing, that much better the program will be for you. And having seen Sadhguru in the past 3-4 years is really breaking my heart. I don't think he's not the same as how he used to be 4 years ago in terms of energy also. And we're able to see that also. So keeping that in mind also, we'll try our best to prepare for this samyama our silence program so that his work will be less. No, that's one thing. Then we can be most receptive in the program. So first thing, Anna, can I just continue? Is that okay?
Yes, yeah? Anna, please go with the flow.
Okay, perfect. So one of the things about preparing for silence program is the schedule, right? Which is the most difficult part. And I'll tell you that this is a secret from the ashram. So the one thing, factor that decides whether somebody stays in the ashram or not, it's nothing to do with the volunteers, nothing to do with the Swamis and Maharaj, nothing to do with Sadhguru also in many ways. It's to do with us, is schedule, following the schedule. If you could follow the schedule every day, day in and day out, literally every day you wake up and you have to do the same thing again and again and again and again. If you could do that, you will be able to stay in the ashram. Really, that's how ashram is. And that's how your next 2 to 3 months are going to be, basically. I'm stressing this part. So the number one point is schedule. So make sure you wake up early. Brahma Muhurtam is the best time. If that is not possible, at least by Guru Puja time, by 5:30, you be ready and do your Guru Puja and start your practices. So that's one thing you make sure. If you're in a situation where you're going to college or if you're going to work, then this becomes even more, difficult. That means you have to wake up even more early to prepare for the practices. Okay, and so in that context, how to create the ambience? A few things is generally when we talk about ambience, what happens around us for the five senses, what we are taking in, and what we are taking into the body. Physical food, I'm saying. There are two types of food, right? The five senses are consuming some kind of food every day. The body is also consuming different kind of food. So you should be 100% conscious about what you're consuming throughout the day. So in terms of what you're watching, what you're listening to, right? What you're speaking, and what you're sensing, who you're being with physically, every little detail matters. So you have to be conscious throughout the day. No choice. Right? These 2 months or 3 months, you say you're dedicating yourself to the master. There's no, there's no if and but. So that's something you should prepare for. So please make sure you're not watching any, I should not be saying this. I'm just using it as an example, right? It's very easy to get stuck in that loop of Insta reels, for example, right? It's not only that you lose time, but your eyes, whatever you're feeding to your eyes, your sensory vision will affect your body. That you can experiment this, okay? This is one thing I would like all of you to experiment. You do your practices regularly, for example. You're doing all the practices. But for 1 week, you keep watching every content on YouTube and everything, right? Not related to your practices and everything, right? So not related to sadhana, something, some entertainment. And the next week, you just don't watch anything. You will see a major difference in your how you are being. Right? It's not about practices. It's about your being. Right? That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. So your sensory perception is very important, what you're consuming. And the second thing is the food. Okay, I'll stress on this part because this will be the make or break for you. Okay. Why? Food is, Sadhguru has said this 1,000 times or, lakhs of times, or whatever you're taking in physically in terms of food is going to form your body. It's going to form your mind. It's going to form your energy system, right? So if that is the case, so whatever you're consuming will become utmost important. So the first thing is you have to be very conscious of that you're not consuming any negative pranic food. Okay, I'll list a few things about negative pranic food. And many of the things Ashram has already listed. I'm just going to go over it really quick. Okay. Obviously, onion, garlic, please don't do it as much as possible. I know in your life situation, you may not avoid it in some situations, but if you're staying at home in a stable place, please avoid onion and garlic and green chilies. Okay, if you're from Telugu region, there's something called gongura. It's a type of leafy vegetable. Okay, people think it's harmless because it's a leafy vegetable, but that is also negative. So you're talking about tamarind. You know, that is one of the reasons in Ashram you see only tomatoes to create that sour taste. They don't use tamarind, even though South India, everywhere you see tamarind. So negative pranic. Okay, dairy products. So anything to do with milk, yogurt. See, buttermilk is an exception, but you have to really know how to make it properly without the butter. That is okay, but do it sparingly only, not every day. Reduce the content at least. Okay, chocolate. Okay, the biggest Rajasic food. I know.
Is it? Oh, people may say, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
People may say dark chocolate is fine. No, it's not. So is it? It's okay for the rest of the time, but when you're preparing for samyama, try to avoid dark chocolate. I mean, chocolate totally. Okay, it's an intoxicant in its own way. Yes, it is life supportive in some way, but just like garlic, garlic is also life supportive. Mm. But you know, sometimes the body also needs poison. You know.
Can I ask something? Is there any sweet that is not which one? Can?
Okay, that's a good point. Yes, there is. So I'll tell you what we do at home. Okay, so here at Pranakshetra, normally our sweets are based on rice and jaggery. Okay, which is basically payasam.
Payasam. Mm,
correct. Right. So payasam without dairy. Now, the alternative, right, to get the similar taste. I'm saying payasam without milk is something you cannot conceive generally.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So this is like sweet pongal in some way, right?
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So what we do, what you could do is, especially if you have access to coconuts, just squeeze some coconut milk. It takes 10-15 minutes maximum. Use that milk. It will not harm you in any way. Okay. It will enhance your prana also. Okay. So that is one thing you could do. So now you have endless possibilities when you have coconut milk. You can do so many things in terms of sweets. So pretty much all the sweets you can imagine, just replace milk with coconut milk. You will be fine. Okay? That's one thing. And the second thing, so I mentioned chocolate also, right? Yeah. So any types of intoxicants, so it could be tea, coffee. So there are certain vegetables I would like you to reduce them, especially if you're coming from the northern part of India. Cabbage, cauliflower, potatoes. Okay. As much as possible, you try to reduce the intake of these three things. Okay. As such, potato is not harmless, but if you consume a lot of potato, it will definitely turn negative pranic inside the body. Right? It depends on how, moderation, like, you know, how often you're consuming it. And cauliflower and cabbage, nobody even thinks about these things, but because of the way they're grown, and it's not native to India also, that's a different thing, but it's because of the way they are grown in India, they actually become negative pranic within your system. So once in a while, you can have it again, right? You'll see Ashram has cabbage, you know, every third, fourth day, there'll be cabbage. And that's okay because they're growing them in natural conditions, in organic conditions. That is okay. Whatever you're getting in the market, it's not grown that way. Right? So if you know the source, that is okay. If you don't know the source, try to reduce the intake of that.
Right.
Right. So in terms of vegetables, in terms of fruits, there is really like no limitations on how much fruit and what kind of fruit you're eating. Just make sure that the fruits, you don't... if you're going to drink the juices of the fruit, right? If you're going to make juice, make sure you drink it right away, as fresh as possible. Because if you leave the fruit juice outside, ferments. Again, same problem, negative pranic. Right? So these are the few things you have to make sure. Besides that, I can give you two more tips if you're comfortable. So as part of our regular diet, we use rice and dal. These two are like everyday thing for us, right? So, I mean, if you look at any type of traditional Indian food, rice and dal are a must, along with oil. This makes up the complete meal generally, right? One monocot or carbohydrates, one dicot, which is the pulses, and one oil seeds, which is what makes the complete food generally, anywhere you go in India. It's like well-known thing. So The way we cook the rice is we'll remove the ganji. That's one thing we do. Okay, when you remove the ganji, it will make it lighter for you to digest and everything. Especially if you're eating brown rice or millets. Definitely, if you don't remove the ganji, it will become very heavy within you. And you won't be able to function very well. You know, you should be effortless when you're eating food also.
Kanji is the rice water, right? When we boil the water.
Yes, Anna. Yes. Okay, okay. That's it. So when you're boiling the rice, once the rice gets boiled, the excess water, you should remove it. Obviously, if you're using pressure cooker, it won't be possible. So now you're talking about a lifestyle switch, which may not be possible for everybody. That's why I said these two tips are like excess to whatever you're doing. And second thing is when you're cooking dal, right? It could be tur dal or like pigeon pea or moong dal, green gram. It could be chana dal. If you're cooking any of these things, you should cook them. You should not cook them in the cooker, pressure cooker again. You should cook them in a small vessel. And as soon as you put them in the water, once the water boils, you'll see a foam coming up. Okay, that foam has to be removed. And it's known in, traditionally, everybody in India has done it. Pressure cookers changed everybody's mindset. Because now it's packed inside. Now, obviously, you cannot remove the foam. So, you don't think about these things. So, you just remove the foam. The foam is what's going to cause your, you know, you may have noticed, if you eat a lot of dal, you'll get gas. Many people may have complained that gas issues. It's coming from the foam, not from the dal. Okay, so dal uses that foam or whatever, the excess poison, to protect itself from insects. Okay, so that it can germinate again. So okay, we have to remove that foam. That is the key, basically. Okay, so maybe I covered too much about food.
No, that is what I think everyone wants more about food.
Wants, okay,
it's like, Samyama is like food, what to eat. I just want to ask you, some people find it very hard. They think they can just survive on some sanjeevani or maybe groundnuts. Is that possible?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes, I'll tell you about that also. There are two factors here. If you're preparing for Samyama, yes, you can survive on sanjeevani, you can survive on groundnuts, but I would like you to tell you this much. It's an 8-day silence program, correct? So you have to prepare for what the ashram is also going to give you for the 8 days. You may not get what you're having for the 2 months. And all of a sudden, if the stomach is not used to that kind of food, then your stomach gets upset again. Some silence may not happen again for you. So that is one thing you keep conscious. So don't focus on only one food or one thing. Whatever you're eating regularly, try to be conscious about it. Because the gut bacteria, you know, the mandala part, this is one thing I want to tell you. In ashram also, when people switch to kanji diet, I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but it used to be a thing where you could sign up to eat kanji diet. Right? For 40 days, you have to eat kanji diet if you sign up. The reason being, it takes 40 days or one mandala for the gut microbes to develop to consume or digest that kind of food. So every time you change diet, it takes about 30 to 40 days. That is the whole point. Now, for the next 40 days, if you're only eating groundnuts and sanjeevani, you only have that kind of microbes in your gut. And you go to ashram for silence program, they give you something else, for example, hypothetically. I cannot tell you what they'll offer you. And all of a sudden, you don't have the microbes and indigestion will start right away. So you don't want to be in that situation also at the same time. And sanjeevani is a very good point. I would like to mention a little more. So sanjeevani is nothing but few millets put together, okay, and make sure you don't have sanjeevani after 6 o'clock in the evening. It's actually very heavy. Okay, you have it because it's something you can consume in a very light quantity. It gives you a lot of energy.
Okay,
correct. You don't consume it, you know, in a very large quantity. For example, on Ekadashi, ashram gives sanjeevani, and we forget about everything. We just feast on. We have like 2-3 glasses of sanjeevani. That's, I mean, it defeats the purpose, you know. It gives you that little energy and you can last a very long time. That's the whole point of sanjeevani. When you cannot cook, when you cannot do something, that's when you go for sanjeevani. Or else it's really not essential. But yes, sanjeevani is something you prepare for also, right? Consume sanjeevani as frequently as possible. At nights, okay? I know ashram has said 50% raw diet. Don't go like a lot of raw at nights. Okay, it doesn't digest. I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from Bhiksha Hall experience, Akshaya experience also. This is something ashram also knows. That's why if you go to ashram at nights, you will definitely see white rice only. You will not see brown rice or millet rice.
Yes, true.
Right? You will never see that because it doesn't digest easily. So you should eat something that digests easily in the at night. So cooked food generally digests faster. And fruits also digest faster. For example, if you start eating sprouts at night, it will not digest. Okay? That's something you be conscious about. So same thing. That answers the groundnut issue also. The groundnuts should not be consumed at night. That's why in Bhiksha Hall, groundnuts are never served in the evening. Correct? Same thing.
Right, true.
Yeah, you can have all these things in the morning. Whatever you want to have. You have everything in the morning, that is okay. And then the next step is try to have two meals a day. Sadhguru spoke about this, rogi, bhogi, yogi. So, three meals is rogi, two meals is bhogi, one meal is yogi.
Oh, is it? Okay.
He mentioned it during one of the darshans. So, okay. One meal may be difficult with our life situation, but two meals, you know, reduce at least to two meals. That's one thing you could do. So, yes, as much as possible, go with the fruit diet. You know, that will help a lot. Right? Keeps your system light also. And one last thing is, make sure your diet, whatever you're eating, make sure you follow the order. That means fruits have to go inside first. Okay, and then the raw vegetables can go inside. And then the nuts can go or cooked food. Either of them can go inside. That means ground nuts or cooked food can go in at the same time. Right? And then you're eating sprouts. Yeah, sprouts can also go at the same time as the nuts, for example. And then if you're eating like, you know, for example, we're talking about paisam. Okay, paisam is a little, for example, coconut milk also, it's very little difficult to digest. So you have that at the very end of the meal, not at the beginning. That way it will go at its pace. So what happens if you have coconut milk before fruits? Coconut milk takes its time to digest. Fruits will want to digest very fast. For example, in half an hour, the fruit gets digested. That's the time it has. After that, it gets fermented, basically. That means it gets spoiled. So in the stomach, if the coconut milk is taking 2 hours to get digested, fruit will get spoiled in the stomach itself and foul gases will start coming. Not much use, basically. So the order is very important. That's why if you, again, Bhiksha Hall. I'm giving Bhiksha Hall example because everything is set properly there. Fruits are given first. When you go there, you get the banana first.
Right.
And then you get sprouts or, salad next. And then you get sprouts or groundnuts. That's when they serve you the food or cooked food, let's say. Right. And then the paisam comes. Everybody is waiting for that one paisam at the end. So it's the same way you're consumed, the same order it comes. So this is one thing you make sure. It could be in the morning or in the evening, whatever time. Make sure that raw goes in first before the cooked. That's one thing. It will change a lot in your life, you'll notice. So, I know there's a lot more food. Like, there's no, like, it's like a never-ending topic also. but I think I covered majority of how to take care of the food in general. It's best not to eat outside during this time. You know, you don't have control over what goes into the food outside. That's one thing. In an unforeseen circumstances, yes, take your sanjeevani and groundnuts. Yeah, groundnuts are very good. The one thing about groundnuts is you soak them overnight. That's one thing. It takes at least 6 hours of soaking time. You should not consume raw groundnuts. Right? Again, it's slightly negative pranic, the raw groundnuts. Okay? So in ashram, groundnuts are always offered with soaked groundnuts or boiled groundnuts, never raw. That's one thing you have to make sure about. So soak them overnight and then you have to wash it 2-3 times. Because groundnuts are also the same as pulses in some way.
Okay.
So those toxins will get removed. That's why we don't consume them raw. You want to remove the toxins and then you consume the groundnut. You can have as much groundnut as you want. It's a complete food by itself. Remember, I was telling you the monocot, dicot oil seeds? Right. Groundnut is everything. It is oil seed also. It is dicot also. It's monocot also. It's everything.
Okay.
That's why Sadhguru always says it's a complete food by itself. It is. So, I think we covered most of the food aspects. And I think it's, I just can't think of anything right now. But if something comes up, we'll cover it again.
Yeah. I think if anyone has any questions, they can leave it in the comments also.
Correct. And we can cover that during the in the comments itself.
We can make another video also if you want.
Yeah, I can. We can do multiple videos on food. There's like no limit. There's no limit to the food. Yeah. Now I want to cover the ambience part a little. So when it comes to setting up the ambience, it starts from the point you wake up. Okay. So where you sleep, try to sleep on the ground. Okay, on a mattress, because that's what you'll be doing in silence also. You'll be sleeping on the floor on a mattress. Try to get used to it. Okay? The lower, the closer you are to the ground, right? The less tension will be in the body. Simple, right? If you keep hanging something up above, you'll see it will always be in a lot of tension. The closer you bring to the ground, it becomes easier and easier for it. For any object or human beings also, anything, right? It's the same thing. Try to stay as close to the ground as possible. In your sadhana, the way you're sitting also, try to sit on the floor. I'm sure it's part of your instruction to sit for at least 1 hour to do balancing practices, right? So do that. That's very important. Ardha Siddhasana is the most comfortable posture, at least Sadhguru suggested. So we're going to be using that only. Secondly, your yoga mat. Okay. In the traditional language, it's called asana. Okay. Just like during Guru Puja, we offer asana to invite the gurus. For us to do our sadhana, yoga mat is the asana. So don't try to throw it everywhere. Please take care of it. Right? It carries your energies, the good energies. You may notice that if you are doing practices for like a period of time, say 6 to 8 months, and you keep your yoga mat properly aside, and say you skipped your practices for a month, you go back to the same yoga mat and you will do it, it will carry that energy, will help you a lot. Only if you maintain it. The maintenance part is very important. Okay. So you will notice that any number of people, when they are starting practices, they'll just like, they throw the yoga mat on the floor.
Right.
Try not to do that. Because it creates an imbalance in the energy again, which is not very conducive for you. Right? It's your energies you're carrying. It's a good energies you're carrying with you through yoga mat. Right. So it's like your biggest tool, physical tool. I can't think of a bigger physical tool. I mean, obviously your phone is also there to listen to all the Sadhguru's meditations, but besides that, yoga mat is your biggest physical tool that you're carrying around. So that's one thing you take care of. Second thing, make sure your every room in the house is lit with some deepak. So Sadhguru says vegetable oil is the best. But if vegetable oil is not available, you go with some thicker oils like sesame oil, coconut oil. These things are fine. In the north, if you don't have any of these available, you can use mustard oil. That is pretty common there, right? That's something you can do. Okay. So the lamp is very important, especially if you're not living in consecrated spaces. What this lamp does is it creates a space around it, or it clears the space completely. So it'll be closer to Akashic element, which is very important. When you don't have anything, Akash is your help, basically. Akash is your best friend out of the five elements. Okay. So you're trying to create Akashic element as much as possible. That's what it is about. So the closer you're to the space element, the lighter you will be, basically. The more conducive it will be for you to do your practices and do your sadhana. The third thing for ambience is, I may have already said it, your sensory perception, you know, what you're listening, what you're doing, where you're doing, how you're doing, every little thing. Be very conscious, okay? And try not to, only if you have to go somewhere, travel. Or try not to travel, you stay at one place. Because people, we may think, you know, and, you know, I'm sure you've heard this, sadhana pada people would say this, you know, why are you here? They're like, oh, for stability, correct? That's one thing, clarity and stability. These are two things people talk about. See, first you need your physical stability before you can talk about inner stability, right? If you're continuously moving, your body is not stable, right? So if your physical body is not stable, then it will be very difficult for the inner mechanism to get stable. Right? So you choose one kshetra or one location, one place where you're doing your practices for the next 2 to 3 months. Don't try to shift during this time. You fix a spot. Right? You do your practices the same day, the same place. Sadhguru also says this, wherever you're doing your practices, you continuously do the practices at the same physical location also. Like within the house also. That one room. That one spot. You continuously do your practices there. You're building the energies in that area, which in turn will help you, basically. It's your investment onto yourself, basically. And make sure you light a lamp wherever you're doing your practices. It will be very conducive. So, other than that, I think I've covered like the principles. I think you can apply however you want to apply. And in the Inner Engineering book and many other times, Sadhguru talked about the Panchabhuta Deepa, basically where he says, you take a ball, fill it with water, you keep the diya in the center, you keep some flowers in it, right? And he asks you to draw the, I'm calling it David star, but it's like Anahata symbol, basically, the star. And you keep this Panchabhuta diya on top of it. It will create miraculous energies. So if you're keeping diya or deepam, try to keep this kind of deepam. The model and everything is in the IE book, actually.
Right.
I'll see if I can find that one page of the model and I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Right? We can post it. We can make it available for everybody. Yeah. So that Panchabhuta deepam is much more enhanced version of regular deepam.
Right. Right?
That's something we can do. So I'll now come to the practices side of things. I may be skipping a few things, but that's okay. We'll go through it during the Q&A session. In terms of practices, please follow the instructions to the T. You will notice that Ma or Swami Hover has done the orientation for you. May have told you that Shakti Chalna and Shunya are the foundation to silence program. That's why you will notice that as part of the instructions, those need to be done twice a day. Everything else, it's not mandatory to do them twice a day. Shakti and Shunya has to be done twice a day. It's absolutely important. Okay, having done it so many times, this program, I'm telling you, it is true. And you continuously improve your Shakti Chalna Kriya. Okay, maybe you're starting with 20 Kapalbhatis only, and that's okay. You try to aim to increase it. And quality with quality, yeah? Just don't go aim for number. I know you can do like 20,000 Kapalbhatis also, but maybe it's you're not hitting the right spot. So try to aim for the quality also. That's one thing. Please make sure that. Other than that, I can't talk so much about the practices themselves. If you have questions, obviously, there will be correction sessions. The one thing people tend to skip is Upayoga. how do I put it? It's a foundation to the foundation. Okay. So especially if you're living outside the ashram, okay, I'm telling you, please, please, please do your Upayoga. Okay. You will not realize how miraculously your other practices will flow once you do Upayoga. And general tendency for people is they think that Upayoga, if you've done it like, you know, during the Shambhavi Mandala, that is enough. Mm-hmm. It is not true. It cured so many people from chronic illnesses. I'm not joking. And even as recent as last year, I was in Australia and I met this meditator. She's an auntie. She came to me and she was talking to me and she was talking about some elbow issue that she's been going through for 1.5 years. And I was asking, like, auntie, are you doing a Upayoga? She's like, no, ma, I quit. Shambhavi Mandala is over, so I'm not doing Upayoga anymore. I was like, you start practicing Upayoga again. I'm not joking, Anna. 10 days later, she called me and said, it's gone.
Okay.
She was going through for 1.5 years. It's gone within 10 days.
Right.
And Sadhguru also mentioned at some point that it will affect your neurological system also. It's not spoken so heavily because he wants to, you know, spread this to everybody. But it's the part we skip generally, but there has a lot of effects.
Right.
I've also met one Akka recently in the ashram. She spends 45 minutes just on Upayoga.
Is it?
The quality of the time, you know,
right.
You'll notice. It's amazing. I don't know. I'll leave it at that. So Upayoga is something, please don't skip that. And there's another tool. Again, from experience, I'm saying this. You could practice this during Corona time. So during the Corona time, Sadhguru offered Yoga Yoga Yogeshwaraya. This is not the regular Yoga Yoga Yogeshwaraya. It's a special one. I'll try to see if I could make that available on YouTube also. Okay. I did post it on YouTube at some point and it was like a miracle. Okay, so many. It got almost 20 lakh views or something.
Oh, okay.
Within a very short period because it worked miraculously for everybody. So I took it down because YouTube said you cannot monetize it on everything. But I, you know, I was like, okay, fine. But I'll post it back again. I'll make these two available. Right. The one thing is the Panchabhuta Deepam and this Yoga Yoga Shraya chant. It's a very special chant because it's the chanting itself is a little different. Mantra is the same. Right? The word, the letters in the mantra and everything is the same. The way it's done, it's different. So that's one thing. It will help a lot. Okay. It helps your Mahat Prana. Mahat Prana is the immunity part, the Manipura Chakra. Once, especially during this time, you don't want to get sick. And that's one thing people want to make sure, right? Because so that right. your practices will not be broken. So because of that, this yoga, this particular chant will help you with that, right? To build your immunity. And especially if you're going through any kind of situation, viral situations near your house, this will help you a lot. Okay. I know we spoke about so many things, but the biggest thing is you should have clarity on why you're doing it. If you had actually gone through the video during orientation, Sadhguru himself said that, is it really needed for you? You do it only if you really want to do it. It's not needed for everybody. So this is something, look inwards one more time and see if this is something you really want to do. I would like you to do it. I want everybody to do it. Even Sadhguru wants everybody to do it. His compassion is such that he allows everybody to do it. Just be conscious of why you're doing it. Right? This is an investment for yourself for the rest of your life. It's not like a one-time thing. And Sadhguru himself taking the program, I don't know how many more opportunities we'll get like that. Because I've done Samyama silence program with Sadhguru, but the second and third times I've done, it wasn't physically with him. So it's not the same. Okay. This is, as far as I see it, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Right? You must have been in his presence for darshans and everything else, but a specific program where he conducts from beginning till end. During the recent lap of the master also he was saying, every time when Sadhguru conducts the program, every program is different. Okay, so 2019 January Samyama is different from 2019 February Samyama. It's different, correct? So it's a very unique opportunity that you can get only once in your life. So please make use of this place, this time and this opportunity. And at least in the worst case scenario, please don't take this casual. That's something I want to say. Right? However you want to take it forward, please do it. That's okay. We'll try not to take it casually. That's one thing we'll make sure. That's all. For the next 2-3 months. I think it could be a very long period for many of you. Like, you know, it does sound like a long period. 3 months is like 90 days, almost 100 days, right? If you look at the large scheme of things, it's very short for compared to the rest of your life. And what you get out of this, you know, the value you get out of these 3 months, it's uncomparable. So I really hope and wish that you make use of this opportunity in the best way possible. I wish you the best in everything. Thank you.
Awesome, Anna. Thank you so much. I think this was really helpful. I think if I had got it when I had done my silence, it would have really supported me a lot. I think.
Thank you.
And before I forget, I remember the Nepali Anna's name. It was Sarojana. I volunteered with
Sarojana. Correct. Sarojana, yes, right? Anna. Yeah, Sarojana. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. It is Sarojana.
Yes. I don't know how I could forget him because we volunteered. So long. This time also I met him.
Yes. It's you did Linga Seva with him, right? Anna?
Yes, I did Linga Seva.
That's it. Yeah, he was telling me that you did. He was very proud. He's like, I did Linga Seva with Vaishakana, you know? I was like, oh, yes, now.
I was trying to remember his name because I said I forgot his name. He would have beaten me up. That's why I was like, come on, remember it.
It's very good. Even I forgot. I'm so bad at remembering names. So that's one thing I should develop, work on.
So beautiful, Anna. I think. Yes, Anna, tell me, you're saying something.
Can I just go over the list one more time? I just want to see if I missed
it. Yeah. Yes. I wanted to ask something. What about watching movies? can one yes. watch movies?
Good point.
Can
one watch? Movies and clothes, these two yeah. things I forgot to say. Yeah. Yes, movies are okay. Again, it does consume your, how do I put this? Whenever you develop a certain level of energy within your system, correct? What you do with your sensory apparatus, they will consume that energy. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yes, you can watch movies, but are you doing it consciously? That's all. Right? So, you know how Sadhguru says, maybe I should not be saying it because I think if just go to YouTube and type in Sadhguru's experience on watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you could do it like that, yeah, you just focus on movies only. You don't need sadhana at all. I'm just joking. But yes, Anna, please, movies are okay. I'm not here to say you should do this or should not do that. But yes, it's best not to overdo it. Okay? Definitely not once a day. That would be too much.
Yeah.
One movie a day is too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing it once a week or, you know, once every 2 weeks, yeah, absolutely fine. No, that's fine. You know, you always, obviously, you also probably are going to work every day. You need a break from the routine also. That is okay. Absolutely fine. We're all human beings at the end of the day. So, we're not in military. That's also, I want to make sure. So, movies are totally fine. Clothes is the other part. Try to, these are related. So, if you could try to be in lighter color clothes during this time, right? You can also check with Isha Life and see if they have that Silence Samyama's orange t-shirt.
Right.
Okay. Generally, people buy it for the program. You can buy it ahead of the program and take it to the program.
Hmm.
Okay. This is the biggest, I don't know how to say this, but it will change the way you go through the program. I'm telling you. And you wear that for the next 2-3 months, literally wear those orange shirts. Right? Pants are not very important. It's better to wear the lighter clothes generally, but the top, wear either white or the orange one that you get from Isha Life. Okay? And you take the same to the program. And take bath twice a day. It's absolutely mandatory. I'm sure it's probably given in the instructions also. You get a certain prana from the water whenever you take bath. Mm. True, we may not be getting the best water in the world, but still, it still has prana. So, the aura at least gets cleansed, especially for going out and stuff. I'll tell you our personal thing. In the ashram, in 2018 sometime, right? Maybe 6 months after we went to the ashram. Our mentor used to say that, because we were using snanam powder in the ashram, right? The moment we stepped into the ashram, we quit using soap. We were just using snanam powder. It was very conducive for us. He said, why are you using snanam powder? You don't even need that. I thought, we'll start smelling. And that's the first thought you get. And then my mentor said, see, I didn't use snanam powder or anything for 40 years now. I'm just using water. Right? So just to experiment, we stopped using snanam powder. As long as you're doing your practices and you're eating the right kind of food, you will notice the sweat will smell like perfume. I'm not joking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Snanam powder was absolutely not needed. 2018, July was the last time I used anything. Since that day till now, it's just water.
Okay.
Again, the catch is what you're consuming is very important.
Very important, right?
You're consuming a lot of obviously negative related or negative pranic stuff, then definitely you will need something to clean.
Right.
Right. If you're staying away from negative pranic, I'm not only talking about food, content also.
Content also, right?
Generally, content, you know, that will have an effect on your aura and how you smell and everything. Everything, it's all related.
Right. Right.
Something that is visual manifests physically also.
Right.
Right. So in that context, I'm saying, say you started your silence practice, you know, sadhana for 1 month, right? After 1 month, say you stop taking, you know, using soap and snanam powder or whatever, you will notice that you're not going to smell. Given that you do this for 1 month at least.
Right.
So taking bath twice a day is absolutely important. And if you are really comfortable, take bath from top of your head. If that is not possible, at least the rest of the body. Okay. And clothes, I told you, try to use a minimal number of clothes during this time and stick to the same clothes when you're doing sadhana. Okay. So when we were full-timers in the ashram, they gave us actually tracks and t-shirts. Okay. Because in those kurtas, sometimes it can be very difficult to do hatha yoga.
Yeah.
Right. Kurtas are our uniforms. You may have seen like ashramites, right, they're always in certain kurtas.
Right, right. Yeah.
So we always use the same tracks and t-shirts every time you do practices. It carries that energy and it will help you again. Right. So clothes, try to minimize the usage of clothes and resources in general. And try to buy that Samyama clothing ahead of time and start using it. Right? It's a little rough and tough only, the orange shirt. So you can use it. I think, one second, Anna, one more time.
Okay,
so at Pranayog Kshetra also, we have 3 volunteers who are preparing for Samyama right now.
Oh, I did. Okay.
It's a fortune. Okay, it's a beautiful time because now even I have to do my practices on time.
Okay.
I can't skip it. So it's a beautiful time. Yeah. So yeah, no, that's all I have right now. But I'm sure if questions will come up, and we'll do it again.
Yes, yes. So I urge the audience to drop in all the queries, all the small, minute, whatever you have. Nothing is a minute question. Yeah. We'll list it out and make one more video and answer them, I guess.
Awesome. Thank
you. Okay, and subscribe to Pranav Kshetra on Instagram so that you know you can follow their updates. Yeah.
Thank you, Anna.
Okay, Anna, thank you for doing this.
Namaskar. Thank you, Anna. Namaskar, Muna.